is starting to warm up to the idea that Jim Harbaugh will be the next Broncos head coach. I thought Zach Stevens, if you missed that interview that I had with Zach, he's with DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider, and he said, listen, if you put them both kind of in top tier as far as upper echelon coaches, certainly this year for candidates, well, only one of those, they're going to cost, you know, either one's going to cost you a lot of money, but only one of those is going to cost you a draft pick and plus. I know that's simplifying it, but Angel, tell me, like, the interview process, because you have the resumes, you have everything that Sean Payton did with the Saints, you have everything that Harbaugh did with San Diego, with Stanford, with San Francisco, and then with Michigan. So you have the resumes, all equally impressive. The fact that Sean Payton did it with one team and went to the playoffs a lot and did win a Super Bowl. And then you have Harbaugh. Everywhere he went, he made great, like actually great. And Zach brought up the quarterback situation, too. He's not like he's always had the greatest of quarterbacks in the history of the world. Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. So you have the resumes. Aren't they equally in their own right? They're kind of equal in many ways. Different, but equal.
Yeah, I think if you're leaning towards the NFL experience, it's Peyton. I think if you're leaning towards if you're trying to start a new era, a new culture with the Broncos, put the last 6-7 seasons behind you and move on, who is going to be the forefront of that? Because it's not going to be Russell Wilson. It needs to be a coach that will take this team over and build his culture within and allow that to, you know, permeate and last to success.
And hopefully affecting Russell Wilson.
Hopefully,
in a positive way.
And I'm sure that's a part of the interview process. Maybe in just a quick little Zoom call, it's just, hey, quickly, what are your thoughts about Russ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if people that are up in arms about that, listen, the second interview is going to come.
So, hey, yeah, we'll give you time to, you know, you can go back and watch the film for the season, see which players you like, what kind of game plan, what kind of scheme do you see offensively, defensively. Give him time to kind of figure out what he's doing there.
And that's the thing, like, what is the interview process like? Because we know that Nathaniel Hackett, what we heard the reports were that he was really good in the interview, that he just said all the right things, extremely likable. So everything good that could happen from an interview, Nathaniel Hackett was your guy. So I guess the question is, if they all have their pluses and maybe some minuses there, Sean Payton was a part of Bountygate. Sean Payton left New Orleans when the salary cap issue was at its worst, and he just left. Sean Payton had Drew Brees. And from what we're seeing right now, Drew Brees is in a different playing field than Russell Wilson. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. Russell Wilson's still not quite there. Jim Harbaugh certainly has some issues. I mean, was it Parrish Cox, that whole deal with Parrish Cox and the Broncos, and had some assault stuff going on, and yeah, ended up settling and stuff, but it was kind of under the radar that he did most of that, or did do some bad things. You know, Harbaugh had come out, that was right around the Me Too movement stuff, and Harbaugh's like, you know, we're against that, we're fighting that, and then signed him. There's that. There's just who he is, I guess. You know, he's just kind of a very interesting dude. So they all have pluses and minuses. They both have pluses and minuses. But how's that interview go? Is that going to be what sets the other apart? Who does the better interview? Who makes you think that guy can take what we have, what we're committed to as far as roster, and turn it into something great as soon as next season? Because Greg Penner wants it now, wants it next year.
What is more important to you, the figuring out the quarterback or being able to put a competent team together?
Like if Russell wasn't there, if this was just a blueprint of a team that I'm coming into and you're not really set on who your quarterback is?
Or more so, is it more important to fix Russell or to fix the team?
I mean, it's a quarterback league, and you already showed that your defense was really good, but your offensive line was out of whack. That's the question. Was it the offensive line and everything surrounding Russ, including Hackett, that made him not very good? And if you fix those things, is Russ good? You can't. I guess I would say fix the team, because I still believe that at some point Russ is still good. And so you come in and you got to fix the team. You
got this is a long-term thing, which we expect it to be. You want this coach to be in place for 5+ years. There has to be a future past Russell Wilson. And I get fixing Russ. Fixing Russ is the main priority because the team goes nowhere without him. But if he gets hurt or if he doesn't get fixed next year, what is plan B?
First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Yeah, I mean, is plan B we're looking for a quarterback now? I mean, I actually think that every team should draft a quarterback every year, with whether that's a seventh round pick, excuse me, or you need one and it's a first rounder. But yeah, I mean, is Brett Rippon plan B? Probably not. So you need to start thinking about that now. And if you're bad next year, then you start looking around. You're going to have some big names coming in next year.
What I can tell you personally, that having a backup quarterback that is competent is important.
Well, look at what you're dealing with. You're still a playoff team. Dolphins are still a playoff team, even without Tua. But you, more so than that, though, because the uncertainty with Russ. This isn't Patrick Mahomes. This isn't Matthew Stafford, even, where it's like, we're 90% sure we know who our starting quarterback is. The Broncos are forced to be 90% sure. They aren't 90% sure. They don't know. We could see more of the same of Russell Wilson. Noob says Russ isn't broke. Oh, he's very rich. That's the question, though. I saw instances this year where I would have said, yes, Russ is broke. Then I saw instances where I said, no, he's not broke. That Colts game, go watch that Colts game. So many things. That was more frustrating than 46 left hash or anything. That was more frustrating than anything. He didn't even look around. He had no feel for that game. But you look at the Chargers game, okay, he didn't look too broken there. So if what you're saying, Noob, Russ isn't broken, then you're saying the answer to Angel's question is you got to go fix the team. We're not focusing on Russ 100% here. Got to get him right. Got to probably have a couple of conversations, but that's not going to be what I spend all day doing. I'm not meeting with Russ for 2 hours every day. I've got to get this offensive line better. I've got to figure out if Javonte Williams is going to be healthy enough to play next season. I've got to make sure our tight end game is good, because is Greg Dulcich a player in this league or not? Is Cortland Sutton going to take another step? Can Jerry Jeudy keep it going? Those are all things that need to be evaluated as well, not just Russ. But you don't want to get to the point where you don't want to do the opposite of what Vic Fangio did. Remember Vic Fangio? The decision with the quarterbacks between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke? Fangio spent most of his time studying the defense, watching the defense. He let the quarterback stuff go because that wasn't his area. So you got to get a coach in here, I don't think, that can say the Russ thing is my area and I am nonstop with Russ and I'm constantly talking to him. We're constantly meeting. No, it's got to be a spread out type of deal. You got to be the CEO of this thing. You got to hire whoever that head coach is, got to get an offensive coordinator that can connect. Look at the Packers situation. LeFleur said he is open to Nathaniel Hackett coming back. It's because he knows the relationship between he and Aaron Rodgers was really good. So he wants that back. And even though Hackett didn't call the plays, there was something there. So, no, you want a head coach that's coming in that can take a step back and a wide lens view of the situation and fix, okay, our offensive line, tight end game. What's our running back depth chart look like? And then again, make sure our defense is still good. Because there's going to be questions. There's going to be a lot of situations here to figure out, not just Russell Wilson. Now, if what you're saying is true and Russell Wilson isn't broken, then there you go. You got a bonus. You got your franchise quarterback. But I'm telling you right now, from what I saw this year, I can't give you a definitive answer. I'm not telling you right now that Russell Wilson is okay. And I'm not telling you he isn't. I'm telling, dude, there were so many games where he just looked awful. He held on to the ball too long, even for a bad offensive line. Didn't go through some of his reads. Didn't seem to hit some of the easy stuff over the middle. Going back to that KJ Hamler overtime game against the Colts, you had it. You had so many moments to win football games. The decision to roll out and throw an incomplete pass when all you had to do was go down or complete the pass, and you run off most of the time and you win another game. You win a game. There were a lot of things where I looked at Russell Wilson and I said, is this guy good anymore? What is it? But then you take the last time we saw him, and he was good. He was my player of the week. So there, my opinion is the coach. The most important thing is to get the team right, instead of the focus on Russell Wilson. There's got to be some attention given to him, but you have to figure out this offensive line. Number one priority this offseason. Zach thinks that Garrett Bowles will be back. So go get your right tackle. We'll start breaking into the prospects and who might be there at what pick for Denver, but that's why I don't want to go on this Sean Payton deal. I want you to take that first-round pick that you have from San Francisco / Miami, and I want you to get a right tackle out of it. Unless you can secure that position in free agency. That's where I sit. There's a lot that needs to be done here. And I don't think getting rid of a first-round pick... I think every pick at this stage is valuable. Is very valuable. Because you got to start plugging holes here. You get a right tackle and get Garrett Bowles right. It's like you're asking, as far as focusing on Russell Wilson, can you get a Mike Munchak-type dude in here that can really help with Garrett Bowles? Because Garrett Bowles in his turnaround was Mike Munchak's first year as offensive line coach for Denver. But Garrett, we also know that Garrett Bowles hired his own coach. He hired somebody to help him become a better left tackle. Can you get him better? And if you can get your right tackle better, you got Quinn Meinerz, then you start to look like, okay, this situation is getting better here. Get Javonte Williams healthy. Maybe they do re-sign Latavius Murray. I would love that. You got a 1-2 combo there that you were hoping would be the Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon thing. So that's where, you know, you have to have a head coach where you are being the overseer of everything. Not focused primarily on Russ. Not focused primarily on the defense like Vic Fangio was. You have to be able to specialize in a little bit of everything. Noob wants to know, what is Denver's cap availability for next year? Last I checked, I mean, it's not much. According to overthecap.com, team cap space is 14. So, not a lot. Now again, that's going into the next year, and that depends on what they do with Garrett Bowles and everything. If Garrett Bowles isn't there, then that cap number goes away, $18 million. So that's what it says according to Over the Cap. I knew it was around there, $14, $20 million or something like that. What can you do with that? Not a whole heck of a lot. Now again, not everybody's on this roster is coming back with their salary, so they'll be able to restructure contracts and move on from contracts to make that team cap space a little bit healthier. But yeah, there's work to do here. And that's where you want George Payton to be able to manipulate the cap, to figure out the contracts, to go through the contracts, to see what kind of depth chart you can really build with the money that you barely have, because Russ has taken up a lot of it. That's just the brass tacks of the situation. I mean, the cap number is $22 million for Russ this upcoming season for 2023. Like I said, Garrett Bowles, maybe you can do without him. What does that look like? Dead money and cap savings? Could be anywhere from $8 to $10 million if you move on from Garrett Bowles. So, yeah, there's a lot of decisions to be made, and you have to have a competent coach that can work with those and work in conjunction with George Payton, even though Greg Penner tells us that it basically, if you read between the lines, George Payton will not be your boss. You'll answer to me, not George Payton. He said it in the press conference. You're coming to me first. Who is the coach answering to? Greg Penner said they will answer to him. So when there is an issue, Jim Harbaugh wants to release this player and pick up this player. What if George Payton doesn't? Greg Penner's got to decide, I guess. You can't have three cooks in the kitchen, man. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that heater repaired if it's been a little funny lately. Free estimates are available too. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Their website is lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Call 970-567-0798. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Man, you doubt the Deion Sanders move, some of you? Some of you are like not crazy about he's all about himself and all that, which I think he's a show me guy. I think he's great at showmanship. I don't think personally it's all he cares about is himself. I don't know the guy, but that's just my assessment. I think he truly does care about these student athletes. But if you were doubting it, did you see him on last night in their pregame coverage for the national championship game? There wasn't one other person in that stadium wearing CU Buffs gear other than Deion Sanders. You can't buy that kind of press. You know how much it would have cost CU to put any kind of image inside that stadium to promote their school? If they would have even been able to legally do that, I don't know. But Primetime was talking to all the movers and shakers that are covering college football, and he's decked out in Buffs gear. And he also said TCU might not be the opening game of the season. Arizona State?
Yeah, him and Kirk Herbstreit kind of broke this news yesterday. CU will be playing in week zero.
There we go.
Against the Arizona State Sun Devils, possibly in Las Vegas.
Okay. Is that a Deion Sanders thing?
Feels like it.
See, that's what I'm...
It's like, oh no, we can't possibly play TCU to start.
No, we need something better. We need a tune-up, I guess.
That would have been their tune-up. Apparently TCU is bad.
Well, they weren't a week ago. Now they are. No, I would. TCU is the team we saw the Buffs play in the first half. I tried to warn myself yesterday. But that's what I'm saying, dude, about Deion Sanders. You could love the guy, hate the guy, not like his personality, his demeanor, or whatever, but this is what it's all about. You don't think any possible recruits were watching that game last night? You don't think any possible transfer dudes were watching that game last night going, that guy is representing the University of Colorado? That's what this is all about. It's what it's been about for a while now. As the college football landscape continues to change, and even before it continued to change, I'm not saying Deion Sanders' temperament wouldn't have worked as a college coach. I'll be honest, when it was first announced that he's going to be a head coach, I was a little shocked. I'm shocked when I hear any star player that we know of becomes a head coach, because you don't see it all the time. It doesn't happen all the time when they become a coach. Like Ed McCaffrey. Shocked. I was shocked. So guys that I grew up watching or guys that were really good in the pros at their position, yeah, anytime I hear that, I'm like, really? I wonder how that's going to work out. That's cool. That's the name. That's awesome. Just wonder how it's going to work out. But this, yeah, people like the name. He did enough in his playing career. He did enough in his television and media career to build this personality, this persona that is fun for you, Angel, at 25, 26. For me, who's 36.
24.
For little Billy, who's 16. And maybe not so much for Grandpa Bob. I don't know. Maybe Grandpa Bob loves him. But Deion Sanders is the kind of guy where it doesn't matter what era you grew up watching football, you know who he is. Ed McCaffrey, not that guy. Why? Great when I watched him. I think to this day, I think Ed McCaffrey should be a Ring of Famer for the Broncos. But he didn't have this larger-than-life persona that became bigger than Ed McCaffrey, the football player, or at least lended to Ed McCaffrey, the football player. Deion Sanders, while he played, was larger than life, and he created that. Ed McCaffrey just got up, did his work, took his lumps, caught a football, ran for a few yards, got hit hard usually, got up, cracked his neck, went back to work. Deion Sanders was dancing, flashy, entertainment. So because of that, he continued to build that up. 970 says, how about them Dolphins? How about them? They made it to the playoffs. Is this your guy that's against you? Is this Unc?
Yeah, what's up, Uncle? Unc, how you doing?
They got in. Anything to say? Do you feel avenged?
I was thinking about this yesterday. I feel validated is not the right word.
Yeah, validated.
But I feel good. Just the way this season went with the ups and the downs and the injuries and the constant backlash that this team is just forever going to be bad. And, you know, McDaniel's a goofball, which he is. He's a lovable one. And all of this stuff, just to be in the playoffs, that was all my expectations was this season, is that they would be fighting down to the last game, get into the playoffs, and see what happens. And we'll see what happens on Sunday.
There you go. Unc's been going at you, and your team got in. You made it.
That's all I wanted.
You got the Bills now. Congratulations.
Woohoo. Third time's the charm.
Boy.
But is this not setting up to be a new rivalry in the future?
If Tua can come back and be good, then, yeah, you have a chance there to make this division really interesting.
Don't you all want the Patriots to go away?
I
want that too.
You know, now that Tom Brady's not there, I'm either or about the Patriots.
Oh, no.
I'm either or.
No.
I know you hate Mac Jones.
I don't hate him.
You just hate him.
They are the evil empire.
I don't hate greatness.
I don't either.
I don't hate it. And so when Tom Brady and Belichick were doing stuff and people were like, I'm so sick of Tom Brady, I was like, dude, enjoy it. I want to go back and watch Michael Jordan. I want to rewind and be able to go back and live in those times. And we're living in the Tom Brady times. Eastside Chris. With Deion's persona, maybe schedule CSU for week zero. New alignment? Go on. Translation, Angel.
We spelled Deion wrong.
Dang it, Eastside Chris. I've done that before. Maybe. What does he mean, new alignment? What do you mean, new alignment?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Are you saying,
give me a sentence and then you just say two words.
Are you saying, Eastside Chris?
He said week 0-0.
0-0.
So week 0-0.
I don't think you can do that.
0-0, he said it again.
Oh, wow, he got you. They've already got CSU scheduled. Week 3, right?
Week 3, week 4, 0.
Why do we do 0 week? Why does, you get 0 week, but you don't?
Because not everyone plays on week 0.
That's stupid. Either everyone plays or no one plays.
But they're going to be the biggest game of that week.
It's true, but why? This is just another issue with college football. We have a 0 week. High school football does this. 0 week. Does it count? Yeah. Why do you call it 0 week? Well, because it's not an official week, so it shouldn't count. Well, no, it does, because it is official week. I thought it wasn't. Well, it's not, because it's not week one. Week one's the official start to the season, but you play it as 0 week. Make it make sense, Angel.
I'm already thinking 6 months in the future, CU, Arizona State, and Vegas. College game day is there. So much publicity. For
true.
Like, the first month of the season is going to be all CU.
Oh, yeah. Are they play? You think they're going to play at the Toilet Bowl there?
In Vegas?
Yeah.
I would imagine so. That's going to be big.
Oh, man. This is wild. It is wild. Deion Sanders is bringing something. He's coming, right? I am very excited about it.
Did you see the video they put out of him getting to meet Ralphie's trainer?
I saw a picture. I didn't actually see the full video.
Oh, we found out that him and Ralphie have 8 toes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
Deion has
something
some stuff
in common there.
Deion's like,
he's a little terrified of Ralphie, though.
That's what I heard. Because what did Deion have? He had something that where he lost his toes, and his like, he always has to have like deep massages in his legs because there's pain all the time there. Well, I guess he and Ralphie.
There you go.
Ralphie has 8 toes?
Yes. 4 legs, 2 toes on each.
So
I don't think they're hooves.
They're not hooves. They're actual toes. Where's the cow guy around here? Are they different than cows?
I think so.
Wow.
Well, we like that Ralphie runs out first and then the team goes. He doesn't want to run out in front of Ralphie. That's a lot of animal. That thing is like chasing behind you.
Oh, man. I was watching a Mike Leach thing again, man. His thing about Ralphie. Years ago, they were asked, somebody knew they could get Mike Leach going in a press conference, basically asked him of the Pac-12 which mascot would win in a fight. And he goes through and he lists every mascot. And he goes, you know, Ralphie's cool. It's freaking buffalo, man. But that's the smallest buffalo I've ever seen before. You know, when I first started hearing about CU, I just pictured this monster buffalo running down the field. And I get there and it's like this tiny little thing. Although it would still murder us.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, when you go to watch. And granted, she's, what, only her, this is her third year?
She's young.
She's young. She's little. She's going to get bigger. So they only keep her for like 5 or 6 years or 7 or something like that. Because then she gets too big and strong. And you got to move on. It's wild, man. It's a different era for sure. And listen, sports talk in the state of Colorado, getting to talk about Deion Sanders, we'll probably get him on at some point. This is awesome. It's freaking awesome. 36 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold.
Welcome back in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. I was thinking about this because a lot of people just hate seeing, oh, it's Alabama every year. It's Georgia now. It's all these great teams. Oh, TCU's up there. Listen, I just told you, I love greatness. I would have had no 0.00 issue watching Alabama and Georgia last night. And I know that's music to your ears because you want to see Alabama in there. I want to see the best football teams. I want to see the best football game that I could possibly imagine. This is why, though, you want to capture what March Madness does. This is why you've expanded the playoffs. Start it next year, for crying out loud. Why do we have to wait? You are expanding the playoffs because if you want those little TCU stories, you want those March, the Cinderella stories, everybody loves these guys, you never get any, you know, whatever, then enjoy that in the first or second round. Because I do think that's going to happen. And occasionally we might see something really crazy happen down the road. But at the end of the day, when I watch March Madness, Angel, Cinderella stories are great. We see it every year. We act surprised. We shouldn't be. But we see a UNC-type team, University of Northern Colorado, upset somebody. And then they do it again. Then they move past the first weekend. And oh my gosh, they can't do it. They did it again! And then after that, I'm like, all right, I'm ready for the top teams to go at it. I'm ready for the top teams to start playing like the top teams.
Well, the clock strikes midnight in every Cinderella story.
And that's the honest truth. Not everything is Rudy. so many fans want it to be Rudy, and it's just not that case very often.
There's only one Rudy.
And even the real Rudys are still kind of like, well, yeah, but that's not the dude that played Samwise in Lord of the Rings. That guy's okay. That's a bigger dude. I mean, like TCU, they weren't Rudy. That's still a good football team, but just wasn't in there very often. We don't see TCU in those games. So that's why it was cool. You know, I just think that I personally, with my time, I understand it. Like, I get it. If CU gets down to the point where, let's say CU goes undefeated and I feel like they got screwed and they end up getting left out, they wouldn't get left out. Well, next year they could. Guess next year they could. So let's say I get upset about it. Okay, yeah, I can see why personally I'm a little bummed. Oh, man, CU was the best team this year and they only finished at fifth. Well, the beautiful part about that is now the playoffs are going to be able to dissolve some of that. But even then, are the best football teams playing? Can we get to that? How do we get to that in a better way? I think what they're doing with the playoffs, we're going to get there. I also think the layover is ridiculous. And I know that affects TCU just as much as it affects Michigan. But, you know, we always say this about great teams like Kansas City. They got the first round bye. Does that hurt them? It helps them because they got an automatic win. But how many Peyton Manning years, two of them, did we see where they were the best team in the NFL? They took a week off. They got beat by the Colts and the Ravens. Their very first playoff game. I think that layover is a real thing. But I think the playoffs, now we can just jump right into it. Get done with the regular season, your conference championships, boom. Right? Isn't that what we're going to do?
I think they'll maybe do 2 weeks.
That's so stupid. Just go. I get it. They need a break.
2 weeks from the championship Saturday. So you would get the next Saturday off. Following Saturday, you would play.
So just games. one weekend in between.
Yes.
I guess I can live with that.
I think that's
plenty
of time.
But it was like 3 weeks for Michigan, wasn't it?
Almost 4 weeks.
Almost 4 weeks for them.
And that's including they don't practice much after the championship game. Then they go on their winter break from school. They're at home. They're not on campus. They're not in the weight room. They're not in the film room. Sure, they might be doing stuff outside of that, but they're not doing it together as a team. The coaches, while they're trying to work on the game plan, they're also out getting recruits,
mm-hmm.
talking to high school kids who have just finished their senior years of football. And there's a lot going on in that break when you're not completely focused on football. And for Michigan, Ohio State, and Georgia, that may have been the case. For TCU, it may have been, no, we're focused every single day.
Why can't they change the scheduling around, though, where the windows open up at the end of all of it?
Because it the championship has to, or the New Year's Six has to be on New Year's.
Right.
Championship is a week after that.
But why can't you change the recruiting windows to once it's done, officially done, everybody goes out on the road?
When did it used to be? In like,
I don't know anymore.
It was like a one-time thing in like November, December.
Yeah, now there's windows all over the damn place.
Now there's December window, and then there's the March window, which is what it normally is. And then there's the transfer portal windows, which are in between all of that. It's weird.
I just think there should be a recruiting period, but at the end of all of it, so that nobody feels rushed to try to, we got to sneak some of this stuff through.
You're recruiting during the season, too.
Yeah, that's
true. And then you get your early enrollees in February.
Well, and then the argument is, if you just start the playoffs right off the bat, it's a long season for some of these really good teams. Well, do we need all the non-conference games? And again, I get that with the schools that aren't very good, but you could eliminate one.
Oh, and if the conferences move to 10 conference games or something, you're going to be playing the majority of your games against your own conference. And then I know the SEC was talking about getting rid of their championship game and getting rid of their divisions. And just having everybody all together.
Right.
And that might be the future if you want to streamline the process for who gets in the championship game. Winner, you get a spot. Who's the second best team in our conference? And where are they ranked in that top 20?
Yeah. So I think it's all worth like really examining this thing because you have a chance to really make this thing right and not so clunky and not 0 weeks and the recruiting windows mess things up too. And you got to... It's always clunky. It has been for a very long time. Eastside Chris, aren't seasonal/conference games part of the playoffs in the NCAA?
As in, like, championship games?
Championship games won't be a part of the playoffs. Pac-12 championship game will not, I mean, it could affect the playoffs.
It'll be a de facto playoff.
Yeah, but it's not. That's why I think they should remove conference championships, though, because some have them and some don't. So just go with.
I think most have them.
Do the most
power,
have
the
them?
Power Five has championship games.
Every one of them has them?
Yep. The Big 12 just got theirs a few years ago.
I just, but see that, I like adding more to the regular season by just saying whoever the regular season, just like the NFL does it. You don't have to play each other in a championship game to win the AFC West. Who was the best in the AFC West? So they all, do they, are you sure every one of them has
SEC,
a championship game?
Big 10, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, that's your Power Five. The Mountain West has their own. It's not a neutral site, but it's still a championship game. So that's your top six conferences. And then there's then there's Notre Dame hanging around.
See, I don't think... Well, then you have your friggin' independence. And, like, that's just another stupid thing. Let's have three teams that... Or whatever it is, eight teams that just don't belong to a conference.
Well, like, if Notre Dame finishes in the top 20, there's a good shot they're going to take a playoff spot from an at-large team.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why I thought some of them didn't have a... There's got to be one conference that doesn't have a conference championship. Maybe not.
Got to get it settled.
But this is why I would say eliminate conference championship weekend. Just go with whoever had the best season in your conference or side of the conference. It's another thing, too.
Brady, what about all the scholarships that Dr. Pepper is giving out?
For all that, yeah. That's the thing. Like, there's just so much money in it. That's why it's clunky. There's so much money. We can do all the. We can do 0 week in Vegas. That's money.
It's definitely possible to do a 10 or 11 team within your conference schedule, and maybe one or two out of conference teams. That gets you 12 games, most of which are in your conference. You'll have a good idea of who your conference championship is, or who your conference champion would be at that point. If there's no divisions, it makes it so much easier. Because you can do round robin, and you may miss two or three teams from the other side of the conference.
Yeah, I guess as we're talking through it, I do like conference championship games. I like watching them. But now it's going to make what you did in the regular season not necessarily irrelevant, because you still have to get there. But you can win the regular season title, and then you can lose the conference championship game and then not get in.
Well, if you get rid of the divisions, you don't need a championship game.
Right.
If you keep your divisions, there needs to be a championship game.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. Yes. So,
but like, let's say you're number five going into a Pac-12 championship game and you lose, and that's your first or second loss.
Mm-hmm.
You may only drop down to like 16, and that could potentially be a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So you could still lose your conference championship, but still have a shot to
but
get
still
in
have a shot to
if
get
your
in.
Regular season was good enough.
Was good enough, yeah. And that's why I just liked having more venom to the regular season. I think that's such a big deal. And college football does a really good job of that right now. So you just wonder how that's all going to affect things going forward. All right, 51 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We'll get to what's on the tube tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Your games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
What's on the tube tonight? Colorado State getting set to take on Air Force. Just something to pay attention to. Isaiah Stevens, he's sitting at 505 assists for his career. He's just 25 shy of the program record for Colorado State, held by Ryan Yoder. How many is he going to get tonight? 20. He needs 25. You know he's breaking the. You know he's breaking that. He's going for six. We'll get him down under the 20s tonight. Why not? Let's go for it. See if CSU can bounce back. They're -9. I like CSU to roll tonight. I really do. I think the Colorado State Rams kick it into high gear, and they take down Air Force relatively easily. All right, that's going to do it for us. We're back at it on a Wednesday. And we'll see what more comes from the Broncos interviews. Ajiro Evero getting his interview next. And we'll talk about that more in detail tomorrow on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.